Mr. Basriel 7. And so in early 61 you came back to the UK.
Yes, yes, I think that's right, yes. No, it was 60 when I came back and was teaching on the language course in RAF Tangmere. Yes, it was in 1960 I came back, but it was 1961 when I finally left the Air Force. So for about 3 months I was at RAF Tangmere.
Oh, and that's when you were
yes.
teaching Mandarin.
Yes, yes, yes.
What was your accommodation like at Tangmere?
Well, being a married man then, my wife and I were living in married quarters, which were within the camp itself, but on the extreme. And Tangmere was still at that stage a flying station, so there were aircraft using the runway, but very few and far between. It wasn't the sort of thing that we were conscious of. It was, I think, I can't remember when RAF Tangmere closed down as a flying station, but I do remember there were the occasional aircraft that were still using the runway there. But it had been taken over as one of the RAF's training centres for the Chinese language.
Okay, and so while you were there, you decided to leave. Right.
Yes, I think the intention to eventually buy myself out of the Air Force had started quite some time before, but it was at this time that I was really convinced that this was what I wanted to do. So I was interviewed by the Leprosy Mission and they accepted me on condition that my purchase of release would go through, which it did in the January of 1961, and it was at that stage when I was then accepted for service by the Leprosy Mission.
Had you much longer to go in the RAF?
I would. Under my normal term, I would have had another couple of years, because I was a 12-year regular and I was coming out after 10 years. That was the thing, yeah. Yes. So it would have been another 2 years.
Okay, and so did you presumably settle down well into civilian life?
Yes.
Something lined up.
Yes, it was an easy transition, I think, because I wasn't being pushed out. I wanted to do it. That's what I really wanted to do. So that went through quite well.
And so, did you go more or less straight back to Hong Kong at that time?
We went back to Hong Kong late 1961. Yes, I think it must have been September. Yes, it was September 61 when we sailed. We went back by P&O ship, the Canton, appropriately named, and it took us about 6 weeks to sail. So it was quite a long trip, but stopping at all the ports on the way, going through the Mediterranean, through the Suez Canal, and crossing the Indian Ocean through to Singapore, and then up to Hong Kong. 6 weeks altogether.
Okay, and were there any other memories or stories you wanted to put onto tape?
I mean, from the point of view of your your records, it's primarily you want the service aspect, isn't it? The RAF. So try and think of things in that connection. I can't really. I think.
Had you enjoyed your time in the RAF?
Yes, I had. Yes, I think I'd enjoyed it because it had given me an opportunity to learn a language, learn a new language, one that I never envisaged I'd ever learn. I mean, when I was at school, if someone had said, you know, you're going to learn Chinese, it would have been like in those days saying, you know, you're going to fly to the moon. So having the opportunity to learn a language, all at someone else's expense, and then to see the world again at someone else's expense, and to live and work in a place like Hong Kong, which was so vibrant, and so many opportunities, and also so many different people to meet and to mix with. Because not only is the Chinese population, but all the expatriates that, you know, you're meeting with people from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the States, Japan, Korea, India, all there, all mixed. And you could meet them all on different social levels. And that it was a very broadening experience. So, yes, it was good.
And have you kept in touch with people you served with?
I haven't, no. As I say, only one or two. But partly it was because of other circumstances. Is it all right if I mention names? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The day my wife and I were married, and a colleague of mine also got married, and that was Mick and Sheila Rice. So when my wife and Sheila were in Hong Kong, they were great friends, and through their friendship, I think it cemented the friendship that Mick and I had had as being colleagues in the same, doing the same work in the services. So even after they left the Air Force and moved down to Australia, we kept in touch with them. I must admit that it has only been, in recent years, it's only been the annual Christmas card. But we still remember them as they were and are still great friends. Another couple, David and Alison Snow, who were out in Hong Kong. Again, we formed a great bond between us. And when they came back to this country, David left the Air Force and continued in a teaching profession. So did his wife Alison. And they were living up in Durham. So we had contact in holiday times. In fact, we had a number of holidays together. And because they were both teachers of the French language, they often went for their holidays to France. And on one occasion, I think it was early 1950s, 1980s rather, 1982, we shared a holiday with them in Normandy, Brittany. So kept in touch with them, but again, I'm afraid it's come down only to the annual Christmas card, and perhaps a very sort of brief newsletter. And then again, a lot of the civilian people that we knew, we kept in touch with, until eventually it became impossible to meet frequently. And then, of course, there's people passing away, you lose contact. And sad thing is that Christmas card lists get shorter each year, and that because of circumstances like that. But I don't think that I would really say that I'm in touch, in contact with very many. We did keep a visitor's book while we were in Hong Kong, and sometimes when I look through the visitor's book, I see the names, but I no longer remember who they were, and yet at the time they must have been important enough to have them write in our visitor's book that they had visited us, had a meal with us perhaps. So yes, it's very sad. Memory is a peculiar thing, because sometimes you can remember vividly something that happened 60 years ago, and on the other hand can't really remember what was happening last year.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
That's okay.